Dan's message is titled, Isn't It Time for Jesus? His text is John chapter 4, verses 28 and 29. The woman then went her way into the city and said, Come, see a man. Is not this the Christ?
I like museums. I like them a lot. I know of no greater than the Smithsonian Complex in Washington, D.C. I entered the vestibule of the Natural Science Building with one of my best friends. There, standing before us, was a giant elephant, trunk raised in bellowing challenge. To our left was a whale over 60 feet in length. And having been there before, I knew the building was jammed with magnificent treasures from God's great world. Man, let's go, I said to my buddy, who was seeing this place for the very first time. He responded, Oh, Dan, there's nothing in here but a bunch of dead animals. I had to laugh, although I didn't agree with his thinking one little bit, and it got me to thinking. Many churches are museums, too. Nothing in them but a bunch of dead Christians. But a Spirit-anointed church is something else again. There, the resurrected, living Christ ministers and heals and touches and blesses. I'm afraid that many, if not most, people equate Christ with museum Christianity, a liturgical, ritualistic, weekly display of religiosity. And that, my friend, is not what Christianity is all about. On this Revival Time Network, I speak to you of the living Lord and Savior, one who can touch the deepest, hidden recesses of your longing heart, who can heal your sickness, who can become the Lord of your marriage and home and bring fulfillment and true joy. And I ask you, isn't it time for Jesus? Now, I spotlight three primary areas of your life where it's time for Jesus. Any or all of these areas may appear to be completely without help or hope. But the Holy Spirit will take these scripture texts from the Gospel of John today to show you the bright prospects of God's mercy and grace. First of all, isn't it time for you to look to Jesus for your provision? Your well is dried up. Your resources have ended. You're looking at a solid wall of impossibility. The Apostle John gave us this historical record of some folks just like you. Here's the actual story. Jesus' mother was a guest at a wedding in the village of Cana in Galilee, and Jesus and his disciples were invited too. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, and Jesus' mother came to him with the problem. I can't help you now, he said. It's not yet my time for miracles. But his mother told the servants, You do whatever he tells you to. 6 stone water pots were standing there, for they were used for Jewish ceremonial purposes. They held perhaps 20 to 30 gallons each. Jesus told the servants to fill them to the brim with water. When this was done, he said, Dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants did, he called the bridegroom over. This is wonderful stuff, he said. You're different from most. Usually a host uses the best wine first, and afterwards, when everyone is full and doesn't care, then he brings out the less expensive brands. But you have kept the best for the last. Do you relate to that story? How? Well, perhaps your resources have run out, just like the people at the wedding in Cana. There just simply is no more provision. Your supply is gone. But the demand continues. It's a terrible situation to be in. You say, I know it, I'm in it. It's what Mary thought. She too was caught in that embarrassing, stressful situation of no provision. And Mary told everybody around her, it's time for Jesus. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. In Sound of Music, Maria von Trapp told her friends, whenever life closes a door on you, God will open a window somewhere. And I believe that. I believe it because Scripture teaches it and because I've experienced it. In your situation, you have exhausted every seeming possibility for help. The bank, other lending institutions, your friends, everybody. So, isn't it time for Jesus? You say, God isn't interested in my predicament. Of course he is. He's concerned about every part of your life. After all, he did create you. The Apostle Paul, in fact, with his plea to you who are lacking in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, in the light of that delightful promise, take a look at your need today and then ask yourself, as honestly as possible, isn't it time for Jesus? And isn't it time to look to Jesus for your healing? Again, I refer you to John's Gospel for a case history of people just like you. In the course of his journey through Galilee, Jesus arrived at the town of Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. While he was there, a man in the city of Capernaum, a government official whose son was very sick, heard that Jesus had come from Judea and was traveling in Galilee. This man went over to Cana, found Jesus, and begged him to come to Capernaum with him and heal his son, who was now at death's door. Jesus asked, "Won't any of you believe in me unless I do more and more miracles?" The official pled, "Sir, please, please, come now before my child dies." Then Jesus told him, "Go back home. Your son is healed." And the man believed Jesus and started home. While he was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that all was well. His son had recovered. And he asked them when the lad had begun to feel better. And they replied, "Yesterday afternoon at about 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared." And the father realized it was the same moment that Jesus had told him, "Your son is healed." And the officer and his entire household believed that Jesus was the Messiah. That government official found hope for his dying son. "Yes, we believe in divine healing. Such physical deliverance has taken place in my own immediate family. I've seen it. I've experienced it." You can deny divine healing until the world looks level, but that won't change the basic fact that God still heals today. I'm so thankful our Lord has never changed. He's the same today with the same power, the same concern, the same love, the same ability to preserve and protect. No man ever spoke as Jesus. No man ever cared for me as he does. No one ever spoke so freely and totally and gave of himself as Jesus. Our message on Revival Time is never one of doubt. It's a message of fervent conviction that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. His power has not abated. His concern for you has not diminished. There is still healing in his precious name. How does that healing come? The Apostle James wrote, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." And in a few moments, when we do pray together, ask the Lord to heal your body or the body of that friend. Be specific. Don't pray a general prayer. Pray a specific one. There is sickness present, perhaps approaching death. And I ask you, isn't it time for Jesus? And isn't it time for Jesus to release you from the bondage of sin? The Bible gives us the story of our Lord Jesus and the woman of Samaria. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus asked her for a drink. The woman was surprised that a Jew would ask a despised Samaritan for anything. And she remarked about this to Jesus, and he replied, "If you only knew what a wonderful gift God has for you and who I am, you would ask me for some living water. The water I give them becomes a perpetual spring within them, watering them forever with eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me some of that water, then I'll never be thirsty again." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "But I'm not married," she said. "All too true," Jesus replied, "for you've had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now." Then the woman left her water pot beside the well and went back to the village and told everyone, "Come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming from the village to see him. There is nothing about our lives that is hidden from our Lord. King David explained it so well from firsthand knowledge that no matter where we go or what we do, every aspect of our lives is known to God. He exclaimed, "Even if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, God is there." That's the first reality you have to face when it comes to personal sin. God knows about it. And the second reality is this: sin, your sin, is fatal. Make no mistake about that. The Bible says that when sin has completed its cycle in a human life, it will cause death. So that sin you attempt to cover is in reality known fully to God, and it's killing you. The third reality about your sin is this: you don't have to have it in your life or suffer from it or continue in it 1 minute longer. How? It's time for Jesus. You may have tried counseling, therapy, and every other proposed help under God's great sun, yet you're still a prisoner of sin. That sin hurts you, causes you anguish and distress. You want so much to be free from it, whatever it is. Isn't it time for Jesus? Friend, I don't come to you today with museum religion. I come to you with Christ Jesus, the Lord and Savior of mankind. He cares so much about your plight that He died for you on the cross at Calvary. Nobody has ever loved you more than that. There is tremendous help and hope for you today. I offer you the sunshine dawn of a brand new day. Isn't it time for Jesus? Perhaps it's time for you to blow the dust off that Bible of yours and the dust off your faith, too, and call upon the one person who can transform your life, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll help you do that by praying with you, and I ask you to take a moment from whatever you're doing and bow with me. Heavenly Father, it is a fact that we usually come to you as a last resort, and for that we're truly sorry. Oh, yes, what needless pain we do bear, all because we do not carry everything to you in prayer. And we know fully well now that it's time for Jesus in our lives. And dear Christ, I invite you into my life and that of my friend who prays with me. I ask you to accomplish what no other power or source can possibly do. Heal my soul and mind and give me peace such as this world does not even understand. Heal my body, dear Lord Jesus. And I thank you. And once again, I say I'm sorry for taking so long to comprehend that. For a long, long time, it's been time for Jesus. Amen.